This is Pastor Dale Swartz, and I do welcome you to another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow. The Voice of Tomorrow is brought to you at the same time each week by Kingdom Ministries Incorporated, which is dedicated to teaching, preaching, sharing the message of God's kingdom that is yet to come to be established on the earth. The Bible clearly in the New Testament talks about the kingdom of God. It was a message that was near on the heart of Jesus. He spoke of it throughout his ministry. And during his ministry, his three-year ministry on the earth, Jesus was showing what the kingdom of God would be like. We've just enjoyed a beautiful Christmas season. And as you have enjoyed Christmas, I hope that you have been following along as we've been studying the passages dealing with Advent. Advent means coming, and we are celebrating the first coming of Jesus, the first Advent, the first coming of Jesus when Jesus was born in the manger. Jesus was a special child. He was born of a virgin. The Old Testament talked about the coming of one who would rule and reign. The Old Testament talked about a Messiah that would set up peace. And in the passages from Isaiah that we read from Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 11, and we find that these passages dealt with a perfect age that is yet to come, when peace would be established on the earth. We read in Isaiah chapter 2 at the very beginning of our Advent study that this person who would rule and reign would be ruling from Jerusalem, and people would go to the house of the Lord, to the mountain of the Lord, and be taught of God's ways. It is literal. When it says Jerusalem, it means Jerusalem. When it says Mount Zion, it is Mount Zion. And that's over in the Middle East area. Jerusalem will be the capital of God's coming kingdom, and Jesus will rule and reign. As we reflect back on the birth of Jesus, Jesus had two purposes. Yet the purposes were confused in the minds of the people. Now, we've been, during football season, when you watch a game on Sunday and you watch your favorite team and then you go to work the next day and you talk about how the game went and, you know, the person did this and did that and, you know, they should have done this or that was a lousy call on this. And we are what people call armchair quarterbacks as we look back at the events that happened in the football game. As we look at the birth of Jesus, you and I can be armchair quarterbacks regarding the birth of Jesus and how all that transpired. But in the days when it was taking place, as the Jews just prior to Jesus' birth were anticipating the coming of their Messiah, they saw in the Old Testament where someone was coming to rule and reign, but also there was someone else that was going to be coming to die. And they had trouble distinguishing who this person was. And when Jesus was born and it illustrated the coming kingdom of God through his miracles during his ministry, the people anticipated him to be their ruling king. Well, then when we get to the time of Easter, and we see Jesus coming into Jerusalem and proclaiming himself as the Messiah, but then not starting a revolt, not turning the kingdom, revolting against the Romans and starting a revolution, his followers became a little discouraged because they were wanting out from under the Roman government, and Jesus didn't do that. There was something else that he had to do yet. He had to die. In our day, we can see how that transpired, but the Jewish people could not see from the Old Testament how the one that was to be the suffering Savior to die for the world could be one and the same, the one that was going to come and rule and reign. In the first chapter of the book of Matthew, we have the story of the birth of Jesus as was told to Joseph. And we have to have a different picture as the picture told to Mary. And we'd like to focus on that today. For in Matthew, the first chapter in verse 18, it says the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken of through by the Lord through the prophet, which happens to be Isaiah, by the way. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated means God with us. I'd like to have that's Matthew chapter 1 verses 18 through 23. Now I'd like to have you go over to the other account of the birth of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of Luke. Write that passage down. It's Luke chapter 1. And we find that the angel spoke to Mary. She came, it was in the sixth month, starting with the verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Coming in, he said to her, Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement, kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And then Mary asks, How will this be, since I am a virgin? The angel said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon thee, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. Now we have the two accounts here, one in Matthew, one in Luke, both of the birth of Jesus. The angel appears to Joseph in Matthew. The angel appears to Mary in the Gospel of Luke. Yet the message is different. And this is where we see the two purposes of the birth of Jesus. This is where we see the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, where the prophets saw one coming to rule and reign, and also from Isaiah chapter 53, they saw the picture of a suffering servant, a suffering Savior. To Mary, the message was that his name, he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And that is fulfillment of 2 Samuel chapter 7. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. He will be a ruler, he will be a king, and he will sit on the throne of David and rule over a kingdom forever. On the other hand, the picture in Matthew, as the angel appears to Joseph, he has a different picture. He said, the son will, you'll call his name Jesus. This is verse 21 of Matthew 1. The woman will call, she will call, bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins. And all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, that behold, a virgin will be with child and shall bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. We spoke last week about the idea of agency, that Jesus is God's agent. Just as Moses was God to Pharaoh, Jesus is as God to us, but he is totally separate from Jehovah, the creator of the universe. And the picture that we have here in Matthew chapter 1 is that this woman will bear a child, and this child will save his people from their sins. This is the point, that there's only one way to save people from their sins, and the Jews knew this, and this was by someone to die. So the message that was given to Joseph was that the child was going to die eventually. He will save his people from their sins. The only way to be saved from sin is a blood sacrifice. And the Old Testament pictured a suffering Savior in Isaiah 53. The picture given to Joseph is that the child would die to save his people from their sins. But the same child that as the angel spoke to Mary, he's going to rule and reign and sit on the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there be no end. So how this all gels together, the Jewish people may not have gotten it, but we can see in history how Jesus, God's only begotten Son, was born for the purpose of dying, then God raised him back to life, and he is coming again to set up his kingdom. And throughout his earthly ministry then, Jesus talked about the coming kingdom of God and how there would be perfection set up. And he opened the eyes of the blind and opened the ears of the deaf, and the lame walked. All the miracles that he did were a foreshadowing and a taste of what the perfection would be like when he returned in a day future to us, when there will be no deafness, there will be no blindness, and the lame will walk, and death will be done away. The miracles Jesus performed were a shadow and a taste of what is yet to come. Jesus was both the one to come to die and the one to come to rule and reign. And we praise God that he is coming again, and Jesus is coming again in the not too distant future. I pray it would be in our lifetime, but nobody knows the day or the hour. Only God himself. Jesus didn't even know the day. Matthew chapter 24 bears that out. So if you check that out, write it down and check it. Jesus did not know the day, only his Father. But he's coming again, recorded by the angels. And we look forward to that day. Amen.